The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you, Logan?
This is weird. I am in person. I am in Baltimore. This is not... This is a really good edit that we've done here.
Yeah, could you imagine if this was an edit, like this green screen behind us? Where... No, yeah, Logan came up for RSL versus Philadelphia Union, first time at Subaru Park. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Be a little bit of a different episode, I think, with us being here in person together. But, you know, we'll talk the matches. We had a... Obviously, we were both at the 7:30 match. So those other matches were pretty much going off of stats and MLS wrap-up. You know, we did not have the 20 hours it would take for us to probably watch every single game in between then. So there you go. We figured, I was thinking we originally would just do our normal Monday show, but Sunday was no games. And I was like, this would actually be a lot of fun to try a different setup here. So... excuse us if this is not something that you want to see going forward. You won't have to worry about that, really.
I was going to fly up
every year.
Every week I fly up on a Monday, and then
we go to Tuesday. A random 7:30 game.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, how was your trip overall here? What's your thoughts on Maryland?
Yeah, I was going to say I've been here. I was here for
wedding. My wedding.
I was here for your wedding. And didn't really get to see a whole lot. I know when we were coming up here, it was like, I remember checking to see if any of the teams were playing, but it was not conducive to obviously going to see games. So I came up, we'd planned this trip. We were trying to plan something similar to this last year. And then
like the last 2 years,
right?
Just been like, hey, why don't you come up here for a Philly game, and we'd try to go to like DC or something, because it was before the Apple deal, and we were thinking we could maybe hit up like if DC played on like a Friday and Philly played on a Saturday, or Saturday and a Sunday, or something vice versa. But once the Apple deal happened, it became more of a games are on Saturday, the unusual Sunday game.
Yeah, no, I think, but coming up here, I mean, going to Subaru, it was almost surreal. Like, you watch these, I think that's the way it feels on a lot of the stadiums, is it feels surreal until you're in the actual stadium itself. But I mean, just driving up to the park, which is interesting because it's in a different kind of area than maybe Orlando is.
Logan's first experience in Chester, yeah.
A little bit of a different experience going through all the factories and kind of like a port area, which was really interesting to see how they set the stadium up. But overall, I mean, I was really impressed with Subaru. The atmosphere was electric. We were looking up, I think it was 25.5 as far as attendance for Orlando, and it was 17 something.
It's about 18,000
for
Philly. Yeah.
Philly, but the atmosphere was more electric than we get typically in Orlando. Our Orlando ticket sales are not always as good, and you know, we get a lot of I think visitors and travelers and people that are not locals, so there's a lot of interesting mix between fans and people that just want to watch soccer.
Well, yeah, because that shocked you, right? Trying to find the tickets. Like, we bought these tickets way earlier than you make decisions to go to an Orlando game, because the tickets were gone.
Yeah. Like, so we're going, I think we're going to go May 4th, which is next Saturday, to Orlando, and I'll probably buy tickets midweek, like Wednesday.
Right.
If I waited that long here, we would have, I don't know where we would have sat.
Yeah, because there was very little seats left a few weeks ago when we got these tickets. And, there's accounts that I follow that are Union fans that, like, track that stuff, you know, and they'll be like, oh, there's 4 seats left in the River End. There's, you know, this many seats left somewhere else. And they'll do a thing they call Ticket Watch, where they just check tickets throughout the stadium. And pretty good selling team since we've been consistently good.
Yeah.
You know, the progress we've seen in the playoffs up until MLS Cup last year, getting bounced by Cincy. But, like, the fans were always, showing up in those games.
Yeah, no, it was a good atmosphere, though. It was not
you got
the
to
result,
see.
But...
No, you got to see the dupe.
I did get
you
to see
dupe. You got to see the dupe, though.
Yeah, I was We were playing FC 24.
Yeah, and they added that in there.
Yeah, and they were doing it. And I was like, I hope I get to see this. We're hoping.
Well, background, I was playing against Logan, yes, as Philly.
Yeah.
And I was scoring like 5 or 6 right, goals, and he was getting tired of the song. But so it's the first song. The first time he heard it, he was like, oh, this is great. I hope I get to see this in person.
Yeah.
The sixth time it goes into the back of the net, he's a little aggravated.
Yeah. But no, overall, I mean, if you're in the area and you're in Philly, or you're coming in for any reason, definitely check out Subaru. It was really cool because it's an older stadium, obviously, than Interco, which is now what Orlando City is. So that's my home stadium. But
only about like 5 years.
Yeah, it's wild though. Like the amount of tech and stuff that's been. I mean, and Orlando City's always adding new stuff every year. I don't know how far as far as the Union are adding stuff, but seems like we just got a new video screen, which is odd because it's not been around that long. So
I think we've got a new video screen at some point. I think it used to be smaller. I had to look back at like the Tail and Energy Stadium days because that was in PPL Park when it was those stadiums. I think we had a smaller screen. But yeah, so RSL won 2-1. A frustrating game for the Union,
yeah,
I would say. Outplaying RSL while you're at home, that's a game Union would usually win, but I would say even a draw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was headed towards a draw. But really, that goal, the first goal by Gomez, who was the best player for RSL on the night, he was everywhere. Blake should have had that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Blake was asked about that after game, you know, about how he's doing, because he was just coming back from injury. Some fans thought maybe they rushed him back, but I didn't think he looked super off the whole game or anything. It was really just like that one play. And then, I know I've seen some people say maybe he was like stretching oddly after some saves and stuff. So maybe there's a little bit of lingering stuff there. Some people think he's just getting old at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, usually a game I think the Union would either win or draw. And it took a really good second half strike at the death for RSL to win that game and now top of the West.
Yeah. I think too, as far as like Blake, it was cold.
it was chilly.
As you know, people up in the north were probably like, it's not that cold. It was only 50.
And he's from Jamaica, so I mean, that's further south than you.
I was gonna say like stretching and stuff like that. I feel like that's something that you got to do anyway. You got to stay warm,
yeah,
and goal, because you don't want to re-injure anything. So even that, like, I could totally see him trying to stay loose. Because I mean, just think about that as a keeper. You're just stationary for so long,
yeah,
unless you're keeping yourself occupied.
So. And they didn't have that many chances.
No. First half, I mean, seriously, like I said, first half, the Union dominated possession. Like, it felt like the Union had the ball.
I think it was like 53-47 or something.
Yeah, at the first, and then I think at the end of the game, it was
50-50 dead on, yeah.
The RSL controlled it completely in the second half, it seemed.
But Union had better shooting chances in the second half. Like, Union's first half, they had more possession, but, like, their chances were, like, half chances. They weren't, like, anything. They couldn't get it going in the final third. And then they missed two sitters in the second half. RSL, you know, got lucky with the first goal, with the weird, if you haven't seen it, it's like Blake blocks it, but then it just jumps up and like really high, up and over him. And he's not able to get there in time to make the second save. The second goal he was never getting to, so no fault there at all. Just probably needing a better clearance from Glesnes, or I mean, he heads it right to him, but it's also like a far header that reaches. Forget where I was going with this. But mainly what I was trying to say is Union had better goal chances in the second half, even though they had less possession. And, you know, RSL had a few chances that looked, yeah, we were in weird seats too. We're on the end line. So sometimes it's hard to tell depth. Like, there were some chances I thought were maybe a little closer that if you watch on the TV might have been a little wider.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, but there were some that were like, Gosdug had a couple, and even on our end, where I think there's a couple of them that he would put away normally, where I think there's balls that he missed wide left, wide right, which, I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, that just happens in the flow of the game. But they lose their first game, and honestly, I mean, they did. It was 2-1, but I thought the Union looked the better team. It was kind of a chaotic game too.
It was.
You and I were talking about that, but there was no flow to it.
35 fouls, I think I read. And it was like
five yellow cards for RSL.
And three or four for the Union. Yeah. So you have like about nine yellow cards. I thought the ref was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. The issue I think was it felt like he was letting a lot more go in the first half.
Yeah.
Then you had like the brawl in the second half. Right. When Chicho gets like down in the box, I guess trying to get a call, and Bedoya and him are starting to go at it, and then everybody's swarming each other.
Yeah.
And then I felt like after that, he felt like he needed to call every single foul because he was worried it was going to spill over, probably because he was letting it go in the first half. But I think overall, he got like stuff right. Like I don't think there was anything that I was like, oh, that's egregious. That's why is that a call? Because I saw some people complaining about the ref, but maybe just more about how he handled the flow of the game, because there was no flow of the game.
Yeah, it was like you said, it was let him play, because I mean these are two top teams. It was a very much let him play in the first half, and in the second half they tightened the screw a little bit after it got chippy, because the whole game was chippy. I mean every corner it seemed. Gazdag and I think it was Gomez that was in, I forget who it was with him, that were marking him on corners, and it was constantly the ref.
Oh yeah, having to come over and be like, yeah, stop that. No, it was. Let me double check who it was. It was like number 98, right? Yeah.
I forget exactly.
Yeah, so that was frustrating. Just the stop and go, like it really, and then also like when the ball was in play, it felt chaotic. Like
yes,
sprinting, losing the ball, passing it.
A lot of passes over the top that didn't have any runners on the end of them.
Yes, or like especially on the Union side, where they're like McGlynn's making a pass where he thinks Carranza is going to be running, and Carranza wasn't running there. Yeah, the first half had one yellow card.
Yeah. I was going to say the second half.
And it was Arango for the descent.
Right.
Remember? Because he had to be careful. Yep. And there was a few times where I thought maybe he was lucky not to get a second yellow just from the way he was arguing. I think it was number 98 that they kept arguing with. Yeah, so that was Katranas, right? Katranas.
Oh, yeah.
Who scored.
Right.
But it was like he and Gazdag were always like in each other's space, and like you said, the ref would have to keep like saying hey, like, and there was one time I looked over at the ref because he had just warned them, he gets back to his spot and then they're back at it, and he literally just had his hands up like what,
right?
I just fixed this. But we can move on from this game. But RSL went on the road, top of the West now, as they are. I mean, they've played a lot of good teams. They are top of the West. I wouldn't be shocked if they're a contender for one of those spots.
Three wins on the road. They were road warriors last year. They've been really good. They've been impressive as far as just getting points. They seem to just grind out wins. Like you said, I mean, when Chicho's not really doing anything, it really is just a collective effort. It doesn't seem like there's there's one person that really is going to carry RSL, but they seem to be really putting it together. As far as a team effort, but there wasn't too much as far as anything that was overly impressive or that I would say make them heavy favorites, but definitely a good team in the West.
All right, let's talk about the early game that we got to see a little bit of before we left. Austin, LA Galaxy. This was a shock, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a shock for us, but like people following Austin, you know, you've been able to see them in their last five get like four wins, right? But it was also, they hadn't played the quality of opponent of the LA Galaxy yet. And that was a shocker. Austin went up 2-0 in the first half.
Yeah.
Right? It was fairly early on, 19 minutes in. O'Brien had a goal and assist. Rubio scored the first one. Austin now sits like seventh in the West here. So above the MLS app has that as the playoff line, I guess, because the play-in for 8 and 9 don't consider playoffs. But they're, you know, now in the full playoffs, I guess you would say. And they're on the tail of teams like the Rapids, LAFC, both have 15 points as well. So, Austin, what do you think it is about them? Everyone was woof out, and now they're probably woof in. We're quiet, at least on Twitter.
I was going to say, definitely quieter. And again, we talked about this quite a bit, is that the West this year seems the most open it's been in a long time. And I think it's because LAFC are not there yet. I think, and we knew that going in. We knew that going in, they were still looking for some pieces to add to the team. They're going to add Olivier Giroud in midsummer, end of summer, roughly. So I think that's going to propel this team up. I think LAFC lack experience. LA Galaxy, they don't defend. Vancouver, they're just starting to prove themselves. So Austin feels like, you know, we've had this group together for quite some time. Austin's running out of team, Jordan. I think that probably has the most consistency as far as players besides Vancouver, as far as the core is concerned. So you got guys like Sebastian Giroussi. You add in players like this. And I think when Sebastian's going well and he's playing a lot better than he had been, he's making more of a difference. I think there's times where he's just disappeared. And last year, you know, he had that regression where it was, you know, he had been the MVP caliber player that he had been, drops down. And ultimately it's like what Hany Mukhtar is doing in Asheville. When you have regression from a top player like that, it's really going to impact the team. But I think Wolves got them playing much better defensively. They used to ship goals left and right. They're playing a lot better defensively, I think, this year than they have. And last year, they struggled with a lot of center back depth issues. I think they've fixed some of the depth issues. They've had some players return. So ultimately, I mean, I think it's Austin playing a lot better, but against a Western Conference that I still would argue is the weaker of the conference as far as, I mean, Eastern Conference, you can run a 1-5, 1-6, and they're deep. Whereas the West, I don't feel like are consistent. So.
Yeah, I mean, Austin's 3 points from being first place in the West. They have 15 points. RSL leads with 18. LA Galaxy in second with 18. Vancouver with 17, but they have a game in hand. So if Vancouver wins that game in hand, they're back to top of the West again. Minnesota now back up to 17 points.
Yep.
Yeah, which I think we can go ahead and I guess let's stay with West, and well, I guess this is partly East as well, but Vancouver, New York, Red Bull was 1-1 final score. Vancouver on the road in Red Bull Arena, not too far from where we were, really, just a couple more hours up. They had a little bit more rain than we had had. We had rain before the game. But yeah, New York Red Bulls, Lewis Morgan scores to equalize it. Brian White scored for Vancouver to take the lead early. And then we had the fun red card from Ely, right? Where he just swatted it down with his hand. And then has the audacity to complain that he's getting sent off when it was very, very obvious what had happened. But not enough for Vancouver to go and try to take the lead from there. So 1-1, Lewis Morgan left unmarked at the back of the box.
Yeah.
Had a nice little header into there. But Brian White now has like the most goals in Vancouver history.
That's wild. I mean, just thinking about that.
It's like 70-some, right?
Right.
70-some goals now.
Because, I start following the league in 2021. And since then, I mean, it's been Brian White. In Vancouver. I mean, it hasn't, you know, and I don't know what it's like.
When did he leave Red Bull?
Well, he was with Bradley Wright Phillips, because we just watched wrap up. Bradley Wright Phillips and then played with Brian when he was with Red Bull. I didn't know he was that old.
18 to 2021.
Okay.
So, like, literally, he had joined Vancouver in 2021.
Okay. So, when we started, he was, because how old is he now?
28.
That's wild. I always thought he was younger. I don't know why. I thought maybe because I had no idea he had played with Red Bull before he went to Vancouver.
So was it all competitions that he had that? Because they only have him as 33 goals in MLS, right? What were they showing that stat on wrap up with Brian White? It had him above like
goal contributions, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it was contributions as a whole.
That's the only thing I could think of. He's got 30 something.
Team records, player records, top goal scorers. Yeah, I don't know. He has 41 total on all comps. Yeah, maybe it was goal contributions. Maybe there was some assists.
Is that all of Vancouver right there?
Yeah, this is all Vancouver. Yeah, but they showed him above Camilo and something, and that's what I'm trying to figure out what they were showing on
maybe
on there.
I wonder if they don't consider Open Cup.
Why don't you go ahead and keep talking about these teams, and I will try to find that still.
Yeah. So one thing that we were watching the wrap up, and Illy, like, he goes up with his hand and he gets that red card, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going, what? You know, you're arguing this, and the reason why these players do this, and I know this from when I've played other sports or that I've seen other players do this, is that when they typically argue something that is so blatantly obvious, they do it to try to protect themselves from the coach going, what are you doing? Like, why are you you just made a ridiculous play. The motion in which his hand goes up, he clearly just swats it, almost like he didn't realize that the play was going to continue. I don't know. It was really strange. I don't think I've ever seen it. It did stop a goal scoring chance. One that was a breakaway that I'm pretty sure would have probably been put away. But to go down a red man or the red man to go down with a red card this early in the game. I mean, I think it ends up being just crucial to the way that, you know, Red Bull want to play. Because if Red Bull go down a player, they can't press like they want.
I was wrong. So it is goal leaders, all competitions, 44.
Okay.
But I guess Wikipedia hasn't updated yet.
Yeah.
Is what it is. But also it's 44. I said 70 something. I don't know. I had maybe the Diego Chara number in my head. It was like 377, right?
Yeah.
For him. So that is corrected. But yeah, the good point. Maybe trying to protect himself a little bit from the fans and the coach of
I can't believe they called that red card on me.
I can't believe they did that. Why do they have it out for me?
Yeah.
But no, Vancouver, look, that's a road point. They'll take that. They're still they're 1 point behind RSL and LA Galaxy with a game in hand. So they have opportunities. They've been like the best team in the West. So we'll see. We'll see how Vancouver does with that going forward. But yeah, Minnesota is in fourth in the West, and they had a game against Kansas City. And this was controversial, Peter Vermees with his iPad. We'll talk about that. But Boxall scoring 2 minutes in, and then you had a goal in the 25th minute, and then Polito in the 38th, all the goals in the first half.
Right.
But that was it. There was a goal that it was the second goal, right? That was Vermees thought was offsides. And again, we're talking about angles. And Logan and I came up with just the easiest solution for this. Just get a camera that sits on each goal line. Not like on the goal line, but like on a level. These cameras are at the half field point and they're turning to get this. So the angle is off. We need better technology. We have the Apple deal. They need to get that sorted out. So that way there is so it's easier. Now I know like in other leagues they don't have all those camera angles either, but like come on. If NFL has like the pylon tech, just get a pylon and put it there.
Yep.
One from Lincoln Field.
I was gonna say
put it on there.
I was gonna say it's not hard. And then the other thing too is that I wonder is that they've got the technology to where they could have a camera that's censored to follow the lead player. Like I feel like they have the technology to be able to move a camera or have somebody operating a camera like they do with the one that goes up, you know,
the Skycam NFL, Skycam,
where it goes above people. I mean, there is this technology. It is, I mean, I feel like England has a better camera view. Whenever I see their VAR, they've got it better. It's like, but you could even have a camera stationed at the top of the box, middle of the box, and into that goalie's spot, where it's like you could have somebody at least get a straight on view of this.
Right. Especially ones in the box. Yes. I'm fine with like offsides being more marginal in the half field point, right? Because it's like, whatever, you're trying to get a one on one there. But in the box, like it's tough. I think he was onside. Somebody did like a model of it online, and it's like the ball, because it's not from the player, it's from the ball. Right. So the guy is already at a certain point with the ball, and he's level with the ball, we think. from the way that people have done the math and all that. But we shouldn't have to do that. And anyway, even if it was marginally off, I think it's fine to stand it. I only want egregious offsides.
Right.
So for me, that's fine. But yeah, so SKC lose. Vermees was very upset with that. He had the iPad. He had the picture that he thought shows that it is offside. And he held that up to the Zoom.
Yeah. Like, it looks ridiculous. Like, it looks like the kid in
people are going to edit that with different photos.
It was like this. Okay.
So, I saw somebody did one, I think.
Yeah. So, like, I've got font model up. And he was like this, like, to the Zoom camera.
Yes.
Like, the press was asking him a question. He's like, look at this.
Look at how offside this is. All right.
I don't think we've really talked much about it. Like, I think we've alluded to it, but how good can this Minnesota team be without Emmanuel Reynoso? I mean, this is a good win, I think.
Yeah, and he's trying to force his way out. We've heard that maybe summer he's going to be gone. But they're playing fine without him. Yeah. I think they'll be good without Reynoso. actually, that was a slip of the tongue. I didn't actually mean that one.
Yeah,
it was Reynoso is what I meant to say there. Yeah. But it's tough. There's times where they look really good, and then there's times where I feel like they did not really look good when they played the Union.
Right. Yep.
Right. And you see a team like RSL that came in and didn't really play well either, but they got the win.
Right.
Right. Like, they didn't even get the draw. So it's tough because I feel like I would put like RSL and Vancouver and LA Galaxy above them. But LA Galaxy just played like awful against Alston.
Right.
But Alston's on the rise. Right. So like, it's very tough with MLS. Right. Yeah, it is. To really tell
it's
how.
Week.
Like, it is like you're gonna get like Union will lose to RSL, LA Galaxy is gonna lose to Austin every so often, right? That kind of stuff happens, and it's tough to tell what this will actually do going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But they have their coach. He was actually not happy with their shape. He said that he didn't want to make. He had to make some tactical changes, even though they won. He was not happy with the way that they were playing with their shape and stuff. So if he can get all of that stuff sorted out, then I think they'll have a really good, really good shot. They're top four right now. Yeah. If they stay in the top four, you can't ask for much more better than that. You get a home playoff game. You are you're set.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's much better than where they were when Heath was here.
Yeah. So. And I think, I mean, people probably forget that. I mean, Cameron Knowles starts the season as the head coach. Eric Ramsey comes in and he's coaching, and it's an adjustment period. If you've been playing the same system, it's still an adjustment period to how the coach tactically sets up and how the coach manages, especially in-game management is so important in MLS. And you see so many different, like that you and I talked about, how different Jim Curtin's substitutions are than Oscar Pereja. Like, before the 75th minute, it feels like Oscar Pereja has put in all of his subs by then. Whereas yesterday I was sitting there going, and I know you guys have a game Tuesday, but it was like, man, Jim really does rely so heavily on this core that he has. And it, you know, and I think
that's the frustrating thing. Tuesday we have a game. It's like that maybe some subs should have been made anyway.
Right.
But, and then you take Sullivan out and then you lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of goes each way there. One thing I just wanted to point out with Minnesota and SKC, expected goals was almost exactly dead on. 2.01 expected goals for Minnesota, 1.02 for SKC. So I don't think you can be too hard done by the offside being missed or anything. I mean, it's just how it shook out. But possession wise, I mean, 41% possession for Minnesota, 59% SKC.
But possession is not a stat that we like, Jordan. It doesn't tell you anything.
How about nine shots to eight shots? Five shots on target to two on target for SKC.
Go.
So even almost even on shots, but like the shots on goal even favor Minnesota. So I don't know. Vermees needs to figure it out. SKC has been in free fall lately. Last year they started off slow. They started off well, and now they're kind of in a little bit of a problem area right now, is they sit 10th with 11 points, only two wins, three losses, five draws. So not good for them. They're down there with the likes of Portland.
Yeah. And they've spoiled games at home, which, I mean, that's the other thing too, right? Where you, in sport, you talk a lot about, and this is part of why some of the teams are still not in form or are just now getting into form and making their runs. we're only just barely under a third of the season. I mean, we're not even a third of the way the season in. Like,
yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're really close. There's some teams that have just hit their third mark, I think, and in 11, 12 matches. But it's like, you know, a lot of these teams are still 9, 8, 9, 10 games into the season. So they're still trying to figure, like, that is really early in the season. Yet it's really important you don't drop that many points early in the season. Mm-hmm. Like, you always hear teams talk about, well, if we'd have just played better in the beginning of the year. Then
right,
but it's so tough to do. Like, that is such a tough thing to ask, is to have your full focus on those early stages in the season.
I know, because people will say that, like, with baseball,
yeah,
like,
all
well,
the time.
You know, like, it's early, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also like, well, if you miss it by one loss,
you really
you
screwed
know,
up in April.
You screwed up in April. Yeah. how about Miami, New England? Geez. So we're at the game, right? And
not at the game.
We're at the Philly game. But, you know, they have the scoreboard up there, and I'm also checking my phone.
That was a fun one to watch, yeah.
And it was, like, within 40 seconds, I get a text from my friend who's like, I'm watching Miami. They give up a goal 40 seconds into New England. I can't figure them out, right? And Shankly, really great goal, too.
Really good.
Really bad positioning from the goalkeeper, yeah, right, I think, Callender there. Was Drake Callender is not making a good play there. But a good assist from Heal, and then a great goal by Shankly. And for 30 minutes, we're looking at that like, wow, New England.
Finally.
At home in front of a huge crowd that's probably pro-Messi, yes, is
right.
Is winning while Messi is losing. And then Messi takes over. Going to be my vote for player of the match day. He gets a goal in the 32nd minute, gets a goal in the 68th minute, and then assists two in the 83rd and 89th minute. There's two assists given on the Suarez goal, and that's Messi and Kermashi both getting assists there. But, yeah, so two assists, two goals. He contributed to all four goals, and they went crazy. Halftime 1-1, and you're like, okay, maybe they can get, like, a 2-1 victory. Mm-hmm. They said, no, we're going to get a 4-1 victory on the road in front of a huge crowd, the largest soccer crowd in – the largest MLS crowd in New England Gillette Stadium. Second largest soccer crowd,
yeah,
in Gillette Stadium.
Mixed in with three international games. Passed the U.S. and Spain game that was there. I think it was the U.S. and Brazil or something. I mean,
Brazil-Mexico was the highest.
Brazil-Mexico was the highest. And then U.S.-Brazil, I think, was the third. And then it slotted in right in the two spot. But again, like you said, anytime they do this, just like an Arrowhead, anytime they do this, it's a pro-Messi crowd. That's why they're there. That's why they're in a football stadium. And people will continuously talk about, they did it again on wrap up, where it's like, you know, they've got to start making him uncomfortable. I'm like, the only way you do that is the team's not wanting those ticket prices and those ticket sales. I mean, that's like 50,000, 60,000 more tickets sometimes that they're selling to be able to just host Messi. Like, that is such a huge boost for a lot of these teams financially.
I would say even some of them are not even like Messi fans. It's like
just soccer fans in general.
Soccer fans that say, I want to see the greatest of all time play
in America.
And it's going to be probably a rich crowd, because they say, I can afford that.
Yeah.
And it'll be like the casuals that show up, and they'll be wearing their USMNT kit while they're watching that, or like an Argentinian kit, right? Like, they're just going to see the game. I would think more like, you got to make him uncomfortable on the pitch, but the issue is, right, like, you can't. Like, he's been playing this game for so long. He's
comfortable in the Champions League in Europe. There's not
much more uncomfortable than that. Yeah, exactly.
Or Real Madrid, he's playing on a night there. Like, that's not comfortable for him. He's playing against Real Madrid in a hostile environment.
And some of these balls, like this ball from Busquets to Messi for the second goal, it shows Busquets' vision. Right? Because like, if we were sitting almost field level, right? You cannot see that is an open pass. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're watching the Philly game in RSL, there's times where they're making passes where I'm like, oh, wow, they have really good vision to make that ball.
Mm-hmm.
This is like elite level vision, of course, because it's Sergio Busquets, but like, he puts this ball through like four guys and it's just on the ground. And it just gets through to Messi, who's making a great run, and he fires it in there. Right. Like, that's the difference between MLS level of teams and like people that have played at Barcelona in the Champions League and have won Champions League, and have like Busquets and Messi have that relationship where they played forever,
right?
And they know where each person's going to be. Same thing with that Suarez goal.
Mm-hmm.
Suarez already looked at where he's going to put the ball. And when he got it, like 3 feet later, he already knew where he was putting it. He's just like, boom, lifts it into the top corner.
Right. And players that have played over there, I mean, you look at Christian, because people are like, man, Christian Benteke has been really good. But again, he was oftentimes a sub at Crystal Palace. But it's just that awareness, that elite awareness, where he's played enough internationally, he's played against the best players in the world, the best defenses in the world, and especially in the Prem. Like, Benteke's playing in a time when you had that Chelsea elite or that Liverpool elite defenses, where, I mean, it's impossible to score on some of these teams at times. I mean, City played well defensively a couple of years ago. Like, you're talking about these guys, like Messi plays in La Liga, who aren't really known for the defense, but play against Premier League sides in the Champions League.
And he would still do it.
And still absolutely unravel them. And again, getting knocked down by a Sergio Ramos in Camp Nou or whatever it might be. I mean, I don't think Messi's scared of going into anywhere in the U.S. and
playing. It's now called like Spotify. Right. But it was the new camp before.
Right.
Yeah. New England. They suck. They are low on the totem pole, but I mean, look, you can't judge them too much against Inter Miami, but here's the thing. Yeah. They got Chicago coming up. That's an opportunity to get some points. They got Red Bulls coming up, which is going to be tough. They got Philly coming up, which is going to be tough. They got NYCFC, who's on the rise. Then they go to Columbus, and then they go to Nashville. So that's June 1st.
Yeah.
I see maybe 4 points there.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean,
right? If they win against Chicago, which they're in Chicago, so that may not.
Fire played pretty well.
They fire have been good.
Yeah.
And then maybe against Nashville, who've been struggling. Like that's. Yeah. The rest of these teams are very good. They're going to be. They have two home games in that span against Philly and NYCFC.
I was gonna say NYCFC might be there. Their best opportunity.
But they've been good recently.
That's true. That is true.
I'm worried about New England.
They're on a historic path. They've got 4 points, Jordan.
Well, listen to this. After the Nashville game,
yeah.
They go against Red Bull again, Vancouver, Cincinnati, Columbus, Atlanta.
You're not getting any points.
Seattle, July 6th is their next shot.
The way they're playing, that stretch of four, that might be the toughest schedule that
they have a tough schedule. It eases up a bit. They have Seattle, Orlando.
Orlando sucks. I'll go with that.
And then they go Philly, Dallas before League's Cup starts.
Yeah. That's brutal. Like, but again,
they have a bad first half of the season.
Right.
That is awful.
But again, like we've talked about, a lot of those are Eastern Conference names. The Eastern Conference is a gauntlet at this point.
Yeah, like, and then the Western Conference teams are playing are the best in Vancouver. They're going to be facing Vancouver. Yeah. And then they'll face Seattle. Not the best, but
again, like you're talking about Cincinnati. You're talking about the crew. Like I would take right now the Crew, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Red Bull, and Miami, and put them up against any of the Western Conference teams, and they would probably be favorites.
Probably, yeah. That's I don't know, New England. If you're a New England fan, I'm sorry, but also if you're a New England fan, let us know what your thoughts are so far. Is it a Porter issue? Because this team was good last year until Bruce left, right? Like, is it the players not playing for him? Is it the players just not getting it done because of the Bruce stuff? Like, is this cloud still over? I thought when they hired Caleb Porter, like, okay, you got an established guy. The cloud should be lifted. Like, let's go. Yeah. And it seems like it's still kind of hanging over. Yeah.
Pretty good roster, too. I mean, and again, you get a lot of that, too, where it's really hard to fire a first-year coach because they don't have their guys.
Yeah, so there's no way you can fire him, right? Like,
no, I don't think so. I mean, it's historically bad. Like, they are on a pace right now to be really – I mean, if you go through that stretch like we've talked about and you get 4 points, which is realistic.
Then you'd be at 8 points.
After, what was that, almost 10 games?
Yeah.
8 games, something like that, stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, their best shots are going to be against the Chicago Fire at Soldier, which Chicago are really good at drawing in Soldier, at least. So I could see them getting a point there. NYCFC is really the only battle-tested team that they could try to get some points from where... Yeah, no, I don't... This isn't... No.
And then those, like, Orlando and Nashville games can go either way because, like, they're both at the bottom, too.
Yeah.
So, like, Orlando could be like, oh, we're playing the worst team. Like, we have to get points. Right. And to be fair to Orlando, they would have to get points against New England.
Yes.
Like, that would be DEFCON 1 for Oscar Perea.
Yep. That's the game they circle and go, that's the game we got to get.
That's insane. Yeah, they've given up 18 goals, which is fine. Some teams have done that.
Galaxy Chicago, have done that, and they sit atop.
Chicago, Orlando, Nashville, they've given up 17 or 18 goals, but they've only scored six. Six. One of them was last night. So five over the course of eight games.
And we talked about that. Like, Rioni's not going to be the striker that they need, and if Carly Seale's not going to do anything. This team is punchless. Dylan Barrera, I mean, he's not played. He's been hurt. I think they said Brandon Bye and now DeJuan Jones are both hurt. I mean, I think it was Bye has been hurt. DeJuan Jones is hurt. You know, you get rid of two of the best keepers that were in MLS with Petrovic and Matt Turner. And they thought, you know, maybe we can get by. But I don't know. This team's a mess.
DC beat Seattle. Talk about a mess. Seattle.
You get to see him on Tuesday.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So 14 minutes in, Seattle takes the lead, and you're like, whoa, right? And there was a lot of questions. People were like, why isn't Nuhu playing? Apparently it was some sort of disciplinary issue.
He got the Cucho treatment.
Rui Diaz was on the bench, but I think he has to start on Tuesday against the Union. So that may have been more of a reason there, because the lineups were locked in because of the because they had started playing. Mm-hmm. 28th minute, Stefan Fry gets a red card, and that's where it kind of all falls apart here. He really just took out the DC player and gets sent off. Benteke scores the penalty. And then, of course, Benteke scores in the, 45th minute? It's not letting me scroll on this app. 45th minute, Benteke scores, got up there, nice header, and that was it. DC probably should have got more than two goals with the way that they were up a man for so long, but this game could have went so many different ways if Fry, one of the best goalkeepers in MLS, doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. You don't give up the penalty. You stay up a man. Yeah. Maybe you get a draw. Maybe you get a win. Right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough, but everything's not going their way either. They have one win on the season. That was the one that they won like 5-0. Mm-hmm. Not great, but shots were pretty even. 13-12. Six shots on target to four for in DC's favor. Possession was 58-42 in DC's favor. Where's the XG at? Do we have the... Oh, XG, 2.72 to 1.61. But again, this is all with being down a man for Seattle. Tough stretch. But DC, they've been pretty darn okay this season, right? 10 games, 13 points, -1 goal differential. But they've been kind of hot and cold. Mm-hmm. They're pretty even. 3 wins, 4 draws, 3 losses.
Yeah. No, I'm getting Christian Benteke, who's charging down the golden boot. Like, there's a lot of good players, a lot of good strikers and goal scorers in this league. DC's sitting right, I think, the eighth, sitting right outside of the seventh spot.
They're right behind Philly.
Right?
Yeah.
So that they'd get the play in.
But they played two more games or something.
But, I mean, if I'm looking at the teams below them, Jordan, I'm looking at them, and, I mean, besides maybe Atlanta, I like what DC has. Like, I mean...
They have a tough stretch coming up, too. I'm looking at DC. Yeah, look at this. DC, Philly on May 4th. In DC, though. Atlanta, DC on May 11th. DC, Red Bulls. Inter Miami, DC. And then DC, Chicago. So, Chicago, May 25th. They have a pretty game where they're, like, at this point, well above Chicago. And then they go against Montreal and Toronto. So, Toronto's been good. Montreal's not been what they've been in the past, but
right. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough stretch. They again, you play the top five teams, six teams in the East, it's not going to be pretty.
Their Leagues Cup is tough too. Dang, yeah, they're Atlanta, DC, Santos, Laguna. That's going to be a tough group to get out of. But yeah, I mean, they had lost to Orlando on the 13th. They lost to NYCFC on the 20th. Their last win before this one was against Montreal on March 30th because they drew with Columbus on the 6th. And before that, their last wins were their last win was opening day.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been getting a lot of draws in the middle of the season with a couple losses. They lost to Miami. That was their first loss of the season. So yeah, DC, very interesting team to keep an eye on here. Benteke is like near the top of the goal scoring.
One behind Messi.
Yeah. Crazy.
I can't believe Messi has 9 goals.
I can believe that.
He plays like... I just meant like in the... It seems like he plays like half the games. Like, right? Like he's not played in all of those
I think
games.
He only missed a couple.
But still, it'd be like... Hold on. Let me see how many games Messi's played. Messi. I didn't think he was in the starting lineup on the bottom of it. I was like, that's dumb. He's playing 7 matches. He's got 9 goals.
And they've played 11.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's missed
7 matches, almost, 9 goals, and 4 assists.
Almost a third of their games.
Because every time he plays, seriously, he gets 2 goals, it feels. Or like at least 2 assists.
At least 2 assists and at least 1 goal in every That's match, true. I feel like, with Messi. I mean, he has a chance of being, like, player of the match day every day he goes out there. That's...
I think he's been every voting, at least second or first in my players when I vote.
In the last couple of weeks, yeah.
And he's, you know, he's won really... I mean, I guess New England's awful. But he's also like... There's a time coming up. He's probably got like 4 or 5 goals in him, right? Like, I feel like he's.
I don't know. I think he'll spread the wealth. Like, yeah. I don't think he would like.
Maybe Suarez is more of that.
Yeah, Suarez. I mean, he had what like three
against
three?
Orlando.
All right. So a lot of the other games were draws. Well, let's kind of finish with LAFC Portland. Before then, we just talk about the next week coming up here. We had a. Man, this was a hell of a second half. Okay, so it's 2-0 at halftime because you have Miller own goal and then a Tillman goal in the stoppage time. And like they said on wrap-up and everything, if you look at the score at 2-0 LAFC over Portland at home, you're like, all right, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Well, that is the most dangerous lead in soccer, as then you get a goal in the 65th and 73rd from Portland. You get a second yellow for Diego Chara, which I saw really Phil bad. Neville complained about, by the way. He said, so MLS to like give up, to send him off on his record-breaking game.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It's like,
for me, it's like, okay.
Stab somebody and be like, why don't you send him off?
It's the record-breaking game. You can't do that. All right. Yeah, it is a weird thought process.
Like took out a dude's knee on purpose almost though.
I can understand it more in like baseball, like where it's like where to throw somebody out, you just have to be a thin-skinned umpire.
That's true.
That'd be like Cal Ripken breaking the streak and then him being like like F you ump, and he's like, you're out of here, actually. Yeah. Like, but this was actually like a real foul when you're already on a yellow card and you get a second yellow.
And a really dumb area. It wouldn't go on anywhere. Like I don't
Yeah, and Boanga wins it in the 90 plus second. But they did have a goal called back, too, in the first half, which was that offside or was it what was that ruled out for?
It was.
Or is it a foul? Because I thought it wasn't like a good call. I can't remember it was handball.
Yes.
It was a handball. That was. I mean, I get it because apparently anything under the like this part
and
is an arm.
Ball was,
But I mean, it was like this.
It's
part.
Very it's,
there was no advantage gained like, from that.
It was
I don't
like,
think
it was a little separated and it was kind of like here in the pit, like. But it was like low enough in the pit where it was like, that's tough.
It's tough.
Those are always like, come on. I mean, LAFC,
by the letter of the law, technically. To hand, but again, what I like to do is like, did that actually? I don't think that actually helped him,
no,
at all or enough. But yeah, around Boanga scores very early, and maybe this game it's shakes out even way out of reach. Yeah, Portland though, they are sitting very low now, 11th place, 10 points after 10 games played, and -1 goal differential.
21 goals given up. They've scored a ton.
Yeah, they scored 20. Yeah, that's huge. Is that the most? No, 21 for Galaxy. The, yeah. Miami has 26.
Yeah.
It's third most.
Yeah.
Third most goals in the league, and they given up 21. Is that the most? No, 25 San Jose.
And they were also the team, Jordan, that people like, I don't know who's going to score for them. Well, they found it.
They just haven't found who will stop the goals. Yeah. They've been a very weird case because, you know, if you were to tell me after they opened up the season against Colorado winning 4-1, mm-hmm. that they were going to give up an additional 20 goals in the first 10 games, I would have been like, what? Like, if you would have told me they had negative goal differential after that first game, I'd been like, whoa, what went wrong?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, if you tell anybody that a team has scored 20 goals in, 10 matches,
they would think they're flying high, man. Yeah.
And sit 11th, they'd be like, that's not possible. Like, you have to have an atrociously bad defense. Like,
and the Chara yellow card, second yellow, does make a difference. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like, you're down a man. Maybe LAFC still wins that game, but you fought so hard to get back there, and then you go down a man. So.
And you got to defend in this league. Like, it is a league where teams will just score in bunches if you cannot defend because of how fast-paced it is.
I mean, it's just 3 minutes after they equalize, too. Like, that's killer. Kai Kamara had a really good header, but that's what Bawanga will get the goal on eventually. Like, it kind of cycles back around to him. But Kamara is there. Man, they're going to be stacked. Giroud, Kamara, Bawanga?
They're good.
They got to start scoring, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah. They're going to be, again, one of the top teams in the West. Like, I feel like
I feel like
we've seen a lot with Messi and Suarez, but like Olivier Giroud is a goal fiend, and I think will play well here.
What's like, your like ideal? Is ideal MLS Cup for a casual Miami versus LAFC? Yeah,
I think so. At this point. I think so.
With Giroud there against Messi and like
you got all the Frenchmen versus Messi and the South American crew. Oh, that'd be great! Yeah. Like that'd the be hostility that'd be... there would be. Because it is. It's a bunch of the French guys versus the...
And if it's in Miami, because maybe they have the better record?
Yeah. Courtois, Mwanga, Olivier Giroud.
Yeah.
Who else? Somebody else was coming over. One of the French defenders. Who was it?
Did you say Courtois? Not Courtois. Lloris. Lloris. No. Yeah. Courtois is Belgium.
Yeah. Wasn't there... There's a French defender coming. Right?
I don't know.
Who am I missing? Because there was talk of... Or no, it was already here. Am I blanking on somebody?
I mean, they used to have Cellini, who was Italian. Yeah, no,
he's not Belgian. Hold on. Why do I feel like I'm blanking on somebody? There's a reason why he's...
That'd be an interesting MLS Cup. It's the one that the rest of MLS does not want, by the way. But I think casuals and like if you're just looking for entertainment,
yes,
LAFC Miami would be in Miami or in LAFC. You can't go wrong there, no. Depending on where that stadium is. But it would be that would be a sight to be seen.
Oh, Chanel.
Okay. Well, games coming up Tuesday. We have Philly and Seattle doing their makeup game. Their abandoned game from March. Wow, man, when was that? That was a while ago.
It was early on, too.
It was the second game of the season, pretty much. I had went there. It got rained out. I'm seeing if my credential's still good, and then I'm also seeing if I actually feel up to it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I have been exhausted after this week of all of these sporting events that we've been to. So Philly, Seattle. And then you have Pachuca and Club America in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Wednesday, May 1st, we have Forge FC versus York in the Canadian Championship. Ottawa versus Valor in the Canadian Championship. Pacific FC and Rovers in the Canadian Championship. And then Monterrey Columbus in the CONCACAF Champions Cup at 10:15 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd, Halifax versus CS Saint Laurent. That is in the Canadian Championship. Then Saturday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Oh, good thing there's no afternoon games. I know people will be upset about that. It's good for me because my baby showers in the middle of the afternoon. So I should be able to get home and hopefully see some of these games. Charlotte and Portland. All these are 7:30 that I'm going to say here. Charlotte and Portland, Atlanta, Minnesota, DC, Philly, Orlando, Cincy, Toronto, and Dallas, Miami, New York, Red Bull, San Jose, LAFC. Then at 8:30, we have Nashville, Montreal, Houston, St. Louis, Chicago, New England. And then 9:30, we have RSL and Kansas City. And at 10:30, we have Vancouver and Houston. Then on Sunday, May 5th, we have NYCFC in Colorado at 4, and we have Seattle, LA at 6:45.
A lot of good games.
Yeah, what's your match of the week?
That's tough, man. I mean, look at this. Atlanta, Minnesota, DC, Philly, Orlando, Cincy, Miami, New York. I mean, Orlando, Cincy is probably not good anymore. Vancouver, Austin.
That's LAFC. A Cincy win.
I mean, LA Galaxy and Seattle are good. But, I mean, LA is good, and Seattle's a mess. I'm going to go with Vancouver, Austin. 10:30, Saturday
that's
night.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one. Austin's 4 or 5 before their last 5. Vancouver.
Put that on, lay in bed.
Yeah. Hunting the top of the West. Josh Wolf got the boys playing well. It's in 5th. Vancouver, what, 2nd?
Wolf in.
Wolf always in, baby.
I'm going to probably go with, am I going to be basic? Miami Red Bulls. I mean, Miami versus Red Bull is a pretty good match.
This is their 2nd game. This is wild. Because they played the Red Bull killed him because Messi wouldn't
play. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because Suarez was freezing his butt off.
One's in Miami, so probably no freezing there. No, but Miami and New York is probably a really fun matchup there.
Fireworks.
I'm going to also shout out.
I would say the Union DC game will be good. Although there's going to be some rotation probably with Philly.
Yeah, Philly should rotate. But really, they got to beat Seattle with the way Seattle's playing. They should try to beat DC on the road. I say that as if they're not going to try. But I mean, that would be a pretty big deal. Yeah. I know DC is not like a elite team, but they've been playing pretty well, especially at home. It feels like, anyway. And RSL SKC, I think, is pretty interesting.
SKC will be in it.
SKC will be in it, but I think RSL wins that no problem again, especially at home.
Is it at RSL, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then SKC doesn't have to worry about blowing another lead at home.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even have to worry about a lead this time. Well, that was in Minnesota, though, right. But yeah. Yeah, and then...
Oh, we didn't... the crew... What's the crew and CCC? Were they drew, right? Because they had gone up...
Yeah, what was that? What was that? Because
they
score?
I think they were leading and looked good, and then I think it ended up.
No, they lead 2-1.
Oh, is it okay?
They lead 2-1, but that was at home, so they gave up an away goal. That's not great
because they're going to have to at least score one down in Monterey.
Yeah, I still think Monterey gets through there.
Monterey's tough at home; like it is tough to win in Monterey.
And I'm just going off history here. This is almost how it always goes for MLS clubs. They win the home game, then they go to Mexico and get blown out.
Right.
Or at least lose.
Or lose 1-0 because they can't score.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes, but I wouldn't be shocked if Monterrey wins. That game again is on, I believe, Wednesday that they're playing that one. I had that on here. Yeah. Wednesday, May 1st.
Last team left.
Last MLS team left. Philly fans are really rooting for Monterrey, though, because...
Yeah, because if Monterrey beats them, then Philly get in.
If Monterrey wins all of the CCC, yes, Philly gets in the Club World Cup.
It's a good... Monterrey's been playing...
Not bad for a mid-team, I would say.
Really mid. Like,
here. Not here. Playing the Club World Cup. All right.
If they're mid, I don't want to meet the rest of them.
Yes. Then Open Cup again starts on May 7th, so we can kind of talk about that next week. But it's back.
It's back, baby.
It's back. And we got some good matchups.
People will be pissed it's back.
Over
it's
there. Back. Charleston. Chuck playing down, a game next week in the Open Cup.
They just won 6-0.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they playing?
I don't know. I just saw them 6-0.
I think that about wraps us up. Not bad for our first in-person.
I don't feel like it was fun.
podcast. Yeah. I just never knew where to look. Like, do I look at the TV? Do I look at you?
I think we do. We're doing a good job. Like, you do some of that, and then you do,
and then you do some of this.
We just watched the wrap up, and they do some of this.
Yeah, they do that as well. And you know what? I always podcast with this pen. I'm never writing anything down. This is like my.
I always wondered that.
No, it's just like my.
It's your cue card.
It's my crutch. Yeah.
Everybody's got a cue card or a crutch. I've got the really loud Yeti cup that I like to slap down.
Oh, yeah.
So if you ever hear something if you ever hear something go boom in the middle of me,
I try to edit that out.
That's me setting down my cup. I've gotten a lot better. I put a
yes, you have.
Up
you have gotten a lot.
I
better.
Mute it every time I go to because it makes a lot of noise too because I have ice in it. So
yeah,
I try to mute.
I got this jersey at the game.
Yeah, I got.
What'd you get? Yeah, you got a hoodie.
Oh, it's downstairs.
He got a hoodie.
I did.
Philadelphia Union hoodie. I have that. We were on TV.
We were.
I got that picture. Yeah. Not very well.
They didn't
it's
ask
just like
us
two
how,
little dots.
They did not ask us what we thought of the game. It was kind of fair.
On TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they didn't. next time we'll go up to the press box and we'll
wave at Tom.
We'll try to get into the MLS season pass box and
that's fine.
You know, try to get some
coming for you.
Yeah. All right. So that wraps us up here at Stateside Show on all of our socials. Email us statesideshow@gmail.com. You can like and subscribe to us here on the YouTube channel. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Helps other people find the show. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch you next time when we talk the games on May the 4th and 5th.